The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Welcome to Exploring the Word, indeed. And if you have a copy of God's Word, we would invite you to turn to the Old Testament book of Numbers. I almost said New Testament, but Numbers is in the Old Testament. We're in chapter 19. And Bert, there's a lot to talk about. Numbers 19 very famously deals with issues related to the red heifer, and we'll talk about that. Today is also the day of prayer, and we would take your prayer requests. We'd love to hear from you all. But, Bert, I think we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge the homegoing of a very, very special Christian leader. Inasmuch as this show, Exploring the Word, endeavors to verse by verse go through God's Word, somebody who did that for decades, and certainly every preacher that is a Bible preacher would acknowledge the impact of this man, the late, great John MacArthur.
Yes, yes, Alex, we would and we want to do that. And what a great legacy he leaves behind, all the master's college, all the things that he's done, the Shepherd School for Pastors, besides just the books and the volume of the recordings that he has. And I heard someone interview one of his men that helps him with Grace to You and so forth. It says they've got it ready to continue on, just like J. Vernon McGee. He's heard, he's been with the Lord for many years, and yet his radio ministry continues. Dr. Adrian Rogers, he's with the Lord in his radio ministry. Radio is significant, you know, because, you know, it's... As I heard Dr. Rogers say, you know, when you look at me and it's on video and I have a tie that's 2 feet wide and my lapel is a foot wide, you know, man, that look is long gone. But on radio, it's a different matter. Yeah. And so, Dr. MacArthur, what a heritage. And we do praise the Lord for a man that stood on the Word of God.
Absolutely. And, you know, for those of us that... like myself, believe in what America's founders believe, that the government does not have the right to interfere in the church. Dr. MacArthur was very courageous during COVID to proclaim the Word of God, and they, you know, financially and legally, he paid a great price for having church and worshiping and proclaiming the Bible as he did. And so I just think it's appropriate to honor him, and may his influence inspire all of us, just as John MacArthur stood on and stood for God's holy word. May we do likewise.
Amen. And we have a connection with that. Our own Jenna Ellis, who has Jenna Ellis in the Morning, she was one of the attorneys that represented Dr. MacArthur there concerning that battle in court. So we thank the Lord for that, and what a connection it is. So, yes, so, and pray for their family and for that church and the ministry. It's when a man of that significance and his outreach that he's had, it affects many people. So we do that today.
Well, let me read from Numbers 19, and then we will begin to discuss something that is really in the news quite a bit and talked about quite a bit in Jewish and Christian circles. But Numbers 19, about this is a purification ritual for those that would serve in the temple. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance from the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which there never came a yoke. And you shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth outside the camp, and one shall slay her before his face, and Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle and of the congregation seven times, and one shall burn the heifer, the red heifer, in his sight, her skin and her flesh and her blood, with her dung shall he burn. In other words, all of this red heifer shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Now, this sounds really intricate and probably to modern ears probably sounds unusual, doesn't it, Bert?
It does. I think it would have been unusual even then at that point, Alex, because everything else mainly was taking place there at the tabernacle, you know, the altar, and here outside the camp. Kind of different. You catch what I'm saying?
Exactly. And many people have likened the ritual with the red heifer to that of Christ, the death of Christ. He was a lamb without spot or blemish. He had never broke a bone. And he was crucified outside the camp.
Right.
But this, for one thing, years, Bert, even 30 years ago when I was first going into seminary, I remember in the news would be those that want to rebuild a third temple, and they thought they had found a red heifer, and Orthodox rabbis examined this particular cow, and it had one or more white hairs, so it wasn't completely a red heifer. And now, the last time I was in Israel, we visited what's called the Temple Institute, and we saw some of the priestly garments they've created, some of the implements that would be used. Now, I want to be very clear. We know there need not be any more animal sacrifices and rituals because Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. And the law was fulfilled, all the rituals. And that's why from the cross, the Lord Jesus said, "It is finished." But to those who don't know or don't recognize Jesus as the Messiah, they still think that the temple rituals are necessary. Now, why would Christians be deeply interested in this? Well, not that we believe in a sacrificial system anymore. We believe in Jesus, the Lamb of God. But, Bert, I think talk of rebuilding the temple, preparing to reinstitute the sacrificial system, and finding red heifer cows that would qualify by the dictates of Numbers 19, I think it says that we are near the end of time.
It would be, and the expectancy of this as well. So if we expect that, we expect the return of Christ. And the other thing that besides outside the temple is that of dealing with sin. Notice what it says, "And the one who burns it shall wash his clothes in water, bathe in water, and shall be unclean until evening." There was this dealing with sin, Alex, that had to be set aside, separateness. The separateness of this is real. And you go on and you read that about the ashes, you read about the purification, and notice it is for the purifying from sin. This mm-hmm. is the whole idea. This is it, to be set apart from. Now, we will never be sinless, but we can sin less. And we need to be idea that yes, sin is serious, and all that is so, we've heard it. It becomes so real that it becomes cliche in Christian communities. But it is, and when you see this, and washing their clothes, and then setting aside, and then verse 11, it touches another issue about a dead body. Well, how did death come into the world? Through sin. And you have this separation again for 7 days, that length of period of time, a separateness. So, Alex, the whole idea of chapter 19, the red heifer is, I would agree with you beyond, is the most interesting, kind of brings it into context today because of what you said. But the whole rest of it is still dealing with sin and death. But death comes about because of sin, didn't it?
It absolutely did. And I'm going to read a verse and then go backwards. You know, it says, like in verses 10 and following, like if a person died in a tent, well, verse 14, this is the law. When a man dies in a tent, all that come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And it also addressed if somebody died in the temple. Well, as humans, serving other humans, dead bodies have to be dealt with, you know, and we have that today. By the way, I've been privileged to know a number of people that ran funeral homes, and they really view it as a ministry. But for the priest to be cleansed and ritualistically purified, there were things that God prescribed they had to do if they had come in contact with the dead body. And if you go back there at verse 9, a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, the red heifer, and lay them up outside the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. Now, Bert, there was a Jewish historian named Maimonides, and he lived 1138 to 1204, and he's also known in Hebrew as R-A-B-A-M, Rabam or Rabam. Well, Maimonides was a Jewish historian and philosopher, and here's what he recorded, and this is 1,000 years ago, but Maimonides wrote that according to Jewish history, 9 red heifers were sacrificed from the time of Moses till the Middle Ages. And the 10th red heifer, whenever the 10th red heifer is sacrificed, it would be sacrificed by the Messiah. Now, again, we know Jesus is the Messiah. He fulfilled all the prophecies, proved by every measurement that he is the promised God incarnate, the Savior, and he rose from the dead. And Bert, we don't know the day or the hour. I love what you said about the return of Christ. We're not on the planning committee, we're on the welcoming committee. That was really good. But we're to be ready. But in 2022, news reports said that at least 2 red heifers were sent from Texas to Jerusalem. Bert, I don't know when Christ is coming back, but all of this activity and this reporting and a 10th red heifer being sacrificed, and if so, it would be by the Messiah. I think it surely seems like we're nearer the end of time than we've ever been. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree fully, and I agree with you, Alex. The time is near, and we've played that song. You know, we can hear the trumpet sounding. I do believe he's coming back. One thing before we go to our break, and this is in verse 14, and it doesn't just show you him dealing with sin in the spiritual matter, but I think it's also a little bit concerning practicality of health. Notice, in every open vessel, which was not covered, is unclean. So, is there something in the tent? They didn't know all about the germs and all the things that could cause that, but the contamination possibility of an open vessel is a reality. So you didn't want to deal with that. So he said, set it aside as well. So this is what all my ministry is. Okay, we get these great doctrines, these great teachings, but it is also something to say about life. And here is God's, I think, concern for health and life. So we're going to be back. Yeah, it is. We're going to be back with more of 19. We're going to get into 20, which is jam-packed with a lot of information. Don't go away. This Sanctity of Life Month, we honor the over 66 million babies whose lives have been tragically ended through abortion since Roe. Sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at even greater risk now. But in the midst of this darkness, there is a light that shines, and that's Preborn. Preborn's network of clinics have rescued over 300,000 babies from abortion and have prayed with over 80,000 women to come to Christ.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life would be without her.
An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. This is Bert Harper, asking you to join Preborn in protecting life. One ultrasound session costs $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Any gift will help. $100, $200, $1,000. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Amen, amen. Brent, you did it again. Listen, besides exploring the Word, digging into the Word, a lot of times some of our intro music is that of just some great classics, and there's another one of those. Thank you, Brent, and we appreciate that so much. Alex, again, chapter 19, dealing with sin. Outside the camp is where the red heifer would be slaughtered and burned, and Jesus would be outside the camp. We find out that there's a separateness. There's that death is issue because of sin coming on the scene, and then, okay, a sacrifice being made, and then that cleansing and that separateness. And we find all of this concerning people, and it was involved more. After that was done, someone would come along and they would have to take care of that issue, and then they would be unclean. So the whole idea was how serious sin is. And one more thing, see if you see it, see how many people's involved in this. If I counted right, at least the priest, the person that brings it out, and then there's another one that cleanses and does that, 3 or 4. And it shows you how sin is so serious that it affects more than just one person. It affects a lot. And what they had done before at Kadesh Barnea, when those that were 20 years old and older had said, no, we can't go into the land. The giants are there. Then guess what? The younger generation had to wait 40 years before they could go in. And so sin, it does a lot more damage than we think. We say, oh, it's just a private sin. Listen, sin affects everything, doesn't it?
Well, it really does. It really does. But praise God, our merciful Savior has made a way for sin to be resolved.
Amen.
And we can be forgiven. And, you know, you can't understand the present moment or the future unless you know the Bible. And really, the Bible and world history is the story of God intervening to provide the human race with salvation and ultimately restoration. Well, Numbers 19 dealt with the purification rituals for someone having touched a dead body. And speaking of death, there are 2 deaths in Numbers chapter 20. The sister of Moses and Aaron, Miriam, dies and is buried there. And this is like 40 years since the Exodus, isn't it, Bert?
It is. This is what's amazing about Numbers. You have a large spread there that we don't know a lot about, except they were wandering. But you come to chapter 20, and all of a sudden, it comes upon the heroes. 3 big, besides Joshua and Caleb becoming that way, in the older generation, the 3 were Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And all 3 had a purpose. Remember, let's review this real quick, and I'll throw it back to you. God called Moses out, but Aaron was a spokesman with him and for him.
Yes.
Miriam was the sister who had taken Moses down to the river where Pharaoh's daughter would see him, and then Miriam is the one that would rush up to her and say, do you need a nurse to take care of him? And she went and got her mother. And so these 3 individuals, Alex, they're big in this story, aren't they?
Goodness. They really are. And, you know, over the years, there have been several the travel has been broken up like this, from the Red Sea to Mount Sinai, and from Mount Sinai to Kadesh, and then from Kadesh to the plains of Moab. And it says that they're in the desert of Zin, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now, one thing about Miriam, back, I think it was in Numbers chapter 12, she really questioned Moses' leadership, and she got struck with leprosy. But Moses prayed for her, and she got healed of leprosy. Does my memory serve me?
That's first? Exactly right. I was reading about this, and it says it's the only, quote, I would say, stain on her biography.
Right.
You know, was that. And I couldn't help but think of Psalm 130, verse 3. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Moses is going to do something here in this chapter, too, that's wrong.
Well, that's true. And overall, Miriam is a great woman of faith.
She really is. She really is. And so praise God for his forgiveness, Alex.
Amen. There was, verse 2, there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. We've seen this before. And the people chode with Moses. In other words, they argued with him, you know, reprimanded. And they said, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Now, okay, that is a horrible statement. Remember Korah and the rebellion, and the earth opened and really hell swallowed them up. And they say, why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die here? And again, in verse 4, they're saying, hey, we're the congregation of the Lord, and you brought us out here to die. Very accusing. All Moses has been doing is trying to follow the assignments God has given him. And why have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? There's no seed, nor figs, nor vines, nor pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. Bert, I'm just amazed they had cried for 400 years. We're enslaved in Egypt. Deliver us, deliver us. And verse 5 here, why have you made us come out of Egypt? This isn't, and I know really we're just about as bad sometimes, but this is an ungrateful people.
They really are. And notice what it is here. It said, if we wished we'd have died earlier, oh no, we wished we'd have stayed in Egypt. They couldn't make up their mind which one they wanted to go back to. I laugh at that, but that's what confusion does.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Nehemiah was building the wall and Sanballat and Tobiah and all of those were coming against it? It says they wanted to come and bring confusion. And what happens? Sin, rebellion, brings on confusion. So yeah. Even in what they're saying, they're confused. Wished we'd have died with them. No, I wished we'd have gone back to stayed in Egypt. You know?
And well, and just think about this. What they're essentially saying is, we would rather be dead or enslaved than in the will of God.
That's what they're saying.
And let me say this. The place you do want to be is in the will of God. Now, the will of God and the assignments and the calling of God sometimes is going to involve hard work, and sometimes it's going to stretch you.
Alex, let me add to that, and I'm just interrupting a second. I think most of the time, I think people, we need to get people ready. Listen, when God asks you to do something, it's usually bigger than you are.
Well, and let me say this. excuse me. 24 years ago, it was my privilege with the International Mission Board, IMB, we call it. And I and several other ministers led, I think it was about 45 people into the wilderness of Zambia. And we were on a mission trip for 21 days. And my team that I was a part of was, I think, about 10 people. But anyway, over the course of the 3 weeks, we literally saw hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people saved. And I got to lead some pastor training things out. We were out under the African sky in the grass. It was rural, I'm going to say. And it was hot and it was dirty. And yeah, a day or two, cockroaches got on our food. And at one point, part of our group had about a rebellion, and that we're hot and we're dirty and we don't have a shower and there's cockroaches on the food. But hundreds and hundreds of people have come to Christ. And me going without a bath a week, you know, if that's what I've got to go through to see hundreds of people hear the gospel, that's a small price to pay.
Amen.
And listen, to be in the will of God and to be in this strenuous business of fulfilling the Great Commission, when we're talking about the eternity of people, it's worth it.
Amen, Alex. Well, so great, great point, great illustration of that, too. Now, notice verse 6, and I think I saw something here. I want you to look at it and see and comment on it. So Moses, and I'm going to emphasize these words that I'm looking at to see what you see and hear. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces. Okay, when they came from, they went to.
Amen.
Alex, that is the picture of what where we're from too, and God will lead us. And he brought them to what? The glory of the Lord appeared to them. Had they not left from and gone to God and fell on their faces, the glory would have not come. Listen, there's some things we got to leave. There's some condemnation that's maybe in our heart. You know, that we say, okay, Lord, no, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to go to you. I'm going to go to you in prayer. I'm going to go to you and seek you. Alex, sometimes we got to leave from and go to, don't we?
We do. Well said. You can't stay neutral. You got to go from and to. And so Moses and Aaron, they prostrate themselves. They fall on their face before God. Very significant few verses here. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes. In other words, while everybody's watching, speak to the rock, and it will give forth water. And thou shalt bring forth them water out of the rock, so shalt thou give the congregation and their animals water to drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the people together, and he said unto them, listen to verse 10, how Moses addresses the people.
I think it finally comes out, his frustration. Yeah. Go ahead.
Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with this rod, or this like stick, he hit the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beasts or their animals also. Okay, the good news, they've got water. There's a miracle, water coming out of the rock. The bad news, Moses lost his temper. And God said, speak to the rock. And see, all the people were, not only would this vindicate God and his provision, but frankly, it would have really vindicated Moses as God's man. And Moses is God's man, but he got angry, and he really spoke harshly to the people. And I know he's frustrated. He's stretched to the breaking point, but he takes the rod and hits the rock. Verse 12 and 13. Bert, would you read and or comment on 12 and 13?
Well, let me make one more comment before I go there. Alex, I think the word rock, you're the one that is the great word studier. This one got my attention. I thought a boulder, a rock. This word in the Hebrew language is more like a cliff rock, not just a small boulder, but a cliff like coming out of it. So it's a huge rock. That's the reason so much water could come out and feed, and thousands of people could have water in their animals. So keep that in mind.
Amen.
Verse 12, Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow honor me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Alex, anger will cause sometimes you to do things that in that moment you do and regret. It also causes you not to be clear. God was clear in speaking to the rock. He didn't say anything except to speak, and he hits the rock. Do we need to keep our emotions under control?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And let's remember that we represent the Lord. Moses did. And he said, because you believed me not, this is verse 12, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. In other words, the way Moses, and I'm a huge fan of Moses, I really am. You know, we've talked about this a lot, and I'm so intrigued by the life of Moses. And Moses is one of my favorite biblical characters. But he had an obligation here to represent the Lord accurately and obediently to the watching multitudes of people. And as verse 12 says, portray me positively in the eyes of the people, and he didn't. And this angry outburst, and you know, he hits the rock. And I'm just going to say it, I think Moses is angry at God, really, isn't he?
I would say this, Moses' disobedience for the Lord, for whatever reason, anger toward them or just fed up with the people. Yeah. I think it may be a combination of both. God, look what you've asked me to do. You know, yeah. So I think it is that, Alex, what you said. Even in his disobedience, the people, God met their need. I found that just blessed me to know God's mercy endures forever, Alex.
Amen. Well, we're going to come back and we're going to take your prayer requests and praises and questions. The number, call us, 888-589-8840. We're back after this.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. Nahum 1, verse 7.
American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert here, and let's get right to it. This is, on Tuesdays, we take prayer requests and praises, and the number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And, of course, you can also call if you have a Bible question. But, Bert, I've got to praise the Lord, and I want to ask everybody to keep on praying. I've been helping out Mount Pleasant Church, which is near Greensboro, and they have not had Vacation Bible School since before COVID. And my dear friend, Evangelist Daryl Davis, and I are helping with Bible school. Okay, last Saturday we had two children registered, and we really prayed, and Angie and I went to a fireworks display and passed out several hundred flyers around. And Sunday, we had 19 children in Bible school and about 7 adults. Well, last night, Monday night, we had 30 children in Bible school and 12 adults in my Bible school class. So tonight and tomorrow, right after Exploring the Word, I'm heading over to Mount Pleasant Church, and I want to praise God for helping us. Amen. And this is good. This church, they're overjoyed. They're kind of in a restart. And if everybody would please pray tonight and tomorrow, our last two nights of Vacation Bible School, and maybe, I mean, they're just over the moon, 30 children in Bible school.
Amen, Alex.
For this little church out in rural North Carolina, that's big.
Okay, the church I'm at, Ozark Baptist Church, they're in Vacation Bible School this week, and I just checked with Sandy, who is a member there, and she works here, and said, it is going great. And you remember last week we had someone talking about putting AFR information on their church sign, and they were going to do Vacation Bible School. They're in the Vacation Bible School, so keep it up, Vacation Bible School. It's one of the greatest outreach tools a local church has. It's kind of like Samaritan's Purse with, you know, the children's, you know, the
Operation Christmas Child,
how it goes all over the world. Vacation Bible School, listen. They're some of the most effective ways of reaching children, Bible school and Operation Christmas Child. Alex, well, we got any callers that called in yet?
We begin in California. Debbie in California, thank you for holding and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, Alex and Bert, and thank you for taking my call once again. You prayed for my daughter and son-in-law last couple weeks ago, Ashley and Miguel, on their way to California to try to see her uncle because he was had the double lung transplant. We passed away, and they waited, went to the service, and they're on their way back. And I'm just wanting to ask for travel mercies once again for them. And I'm sorry that I've called so much.
No, Debbie, thank you for calling.
We're honored to hear from you.
We really are. And God, we're praying that you would be with Debbie's family, those that have lost the loved one, strengthen them, bless them, and bless the traveling. There's a lot of traveling going on this summer, Father, and during the 4th there were, and there's so much now. We're praying for their safety and arrival. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go to Kentucky and talk to Lisa. Lisa, thank you for calling. Lisa, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, go right ahead. Sorry about that. It's my fault.
That's okay. I just wanted to call in and just say that I have praises. My son has, this end of August, he will have had a year of sobriety and has given his heart to Jesus. So I'm so grateful for that.
Hallelujah. Yes.
And I just want to request prayer for my husband. He said he was saved when he was 15, but I don't want to question it. But, you know, I just see things that he doesn't have the joy and the peace that I have. And I just want to pray that he will find his way back to God, or at least, you know, seek him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Amen, Liz. Alex, joy. I was listening to something about Dr. MacArthur and some of the things he said. One of the greatest things that we receive as a believer is joy.
Yes.
Not necessarily happiness. There is a difference. And have you heard that happiness is based upon what's happening, but joy is based upon Jesus.
Yes.
And that joy is real. So, Lisa, I think that's a great prayer request. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray about that now. May we do that?
Go right ahead.
Father God, thank you for Lisa calling in. And Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that her husband is saved. But if he isn't, Lord, that even this moment he'll begin to desire you and he'll make sure that he has a relationship with you and the Holy Spirit will bear within his heart joy and the fruits of the Spirit. And I know there are many people concerned about the spiritual state of their spouse. And so I pray for spouses everywhere to get saved, get right, and, Lord, that that marriage will be stronger than it ever could possibly have been because they are in agreement in their belief and their walk with the Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, I will get the phone lines again, and let's go to Texas. Is it Debness?
Yes, it is.
Go Debness. Right ahead. Hi. Yes, thank you for calling.
Hi, I love to listen to you guys. You are fabulous. And so we've had an issue, you know, that comes up, and it's a light. It's not a make or break issue. It's not an essential. So, you know, how you address this is not like going to affect your salvation. But my son thinks that the earth is flat. And I don't know where he got it. I mean, he did go to college here in Texas. He got it from there. I don't know. I don't know how he comes up with that thinking. Alex, Bert, do you all have any kind of biblical references that I can give him?
Okay. Let me just give one. And Alex, this is in your area of apologetics, but Isaiah 40, verse 22, about the Lord sitting on the sphere. It says circle in some translation, but the Hebrew word is sphere, just like the shape of the earth. And again, I would say Job 26:7 about the earth hanging on nothing.
Yes.
But go ahead, Alex. This is your area better than mine.
And Job 26:10 that talks about the circle of the earth, really the horizon of the earth on the ocean. Let me say this. What started out probably a decade ago really as a joke, an urban legend, has really taken on a life of its own. There are satire, joke websites, satire, to say all kinds of crazy things. There was even one recently that said that birds were invented by the U.S. government, and they're actually drones watching us. And there are actually some people that posted blog articles affirming that birds aren't real. I know that sounds crazy. Well, in a similar vein, nowadays there have been people posting videos online about why the earth must be flat, and it's just crazy. And one of the things that they try to use the Bible to support this is because in Revelation 7, verse 1, it references four angels, quote, at the four corners of the earth. But that's referencing north, south, east, and west. And Bert, my goodness, probably the best talk on this, there is an apologist named Frank Figueroa, and he's with Reasons for Hope, Carl Kirby, Reasons for Hope, great ministry. Frank Figueroa has the best refutation of the flat earth theory. And for one thing, oh my goodness, just look at the moon. Look at photographs of Earth from outer space. The Earth is a sphere. And Bert, one last thing. When boats are on the ocean and they go beyond the limit of the horizon and they disappear from view, it's because of the curvature of the Earth, isn't it?
It really is. And again, I know, Debness, it's frustrating, but it is still important to have a biblical view. And the biblical view is not a flat earth. The biblical view is the sphere or the circle of the earth. So we will. Thank you for calling about that. Let's go to Arkansas. Douglas, thank you for calling.
Thank you. I'm a long-time listener, but only a second-time caller. I understand that Medicare is putting a data back in the U.S. and Medicare has to go through some additional missionary training. I would like to pray for her and for all the work she's already done in Africa that may bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, let me just share you, JJ and Maddie, they're back on this side. Maddie's got some training to do, and I'm going to have Maddie Jasper on the other program that I do, Exploring the Word. We've kind of trout when she before she went, while she was there, and now we're going to try to get an interview while she's home after that year. So we are praying for JJ and for Maddie, the whole Jasper family. Alex, what a great family. Praise God for them, don't we?
Amen. We love the Jaspers. We certainly do. And thank you for that, Douglas. Let's try Hazel in Louisiana. Hazel, are you there?
Yes, I am. And thank
Welcome.
You for taking my call.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, I just want to say thank you so very much. I so enjoy the way both of you teach God's word. And that's what it is, a real teaching, because so often we grow up, we hear it, and then we start reading it, but we don't really study his word. So I just want to thank you for that. Now, here's my question or statement. When you were talking about Moses striking the rock and God said, speak to the rock. I know we are human. Sometimes we forget when we're reading his word that they were human beings just like us. And for Moses to have done what he did for the Lord, staying on focus to get off at the last minute and do something like, because he's so frustrated. I was reading in Psalm 62, and I want to just share how long, and it starts at number 3, how long will you attack someone? That's the people attacking Moses is what I'm hearing now. And number 4 says, they are planning to make that person fall, which is Moses at the last minute. We get so frustrated and tired with our loved ones. It's showing me, don't give up. And it said, with their mouth, they bless, but in their heart, they curse. And so often, I find myself doing that. I'm blessing out of my mouth, but in my heart, I'm cursing, meaning that I'm so tired of you, not hearing, not understanding. Why don't you read your word so that we can study and the thing can make
preach
sense
it, Hazel. Amen. Let me make one, time runs on. Let me share this with you. And I was reading, doing the research, and I thought about this. Moses received the law. The law could not take him in to, quote, the promised land. It had to be Joshua taking him into the promised land. And but yet it's Moses. Alex, do you realize Moses finally got to go to the promised land?
You know, I was going to say,
go ahead. Well, I won't take you thunder. Go ahead.
Yeah. Matthew 17.
Praise God. Amen.
Tell that story.
Okay, here we are at the Transfiguration, and it is across the river on the right side of the river. And Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus there on the Mount of Transfiguration. And it says they started talking. And matter of fact, I'm going to do the devotion here at AFA tomorrow, and this is what it's going to be about, the Transfiguration.
Yes.
And Alex, they said they talked, and everybody said, wonder what they talked about. I think Moses said, man, I finally made it.
Amen. Numbers 20, verse 12 said, I wouldn't come into the promised land, but I did.
Amen.
And Hazel, you are a blessing, dear friend. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for your wonderful observations about God's word. Patty in Iowa, and I'm going to be in Iowa there at the Cedar Falls Bible Conference in August, good Lord willing. But Patty, what you got?
Well, I've seen you twice there, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you again. I did want to say that this is not what I called about, but sometimes you say it's by Cedar Rapids. See, I used to teach in a Christian school there. I live in Waverly, which is about 12 miles from Waterloo and Cedar Falls. Cedar Falls is a lot smaller than Cedar Rapids, and it kind of runs right into Waterloo. They grew into each other. Waterloo is a bigger town. Used to have a big airport going there, but most people fly into the airport that is near Cedar Rapids. But they're actually about maybe 80 miles or so apart. So
yeah,
it's a good distance. But so I just didn't want people to get confused, and, you know, if they, because we get
it,
people.
It is. It is Cedar Falls. And I've got to tell you, my wife and I have fallen in love with that part of the country. Those towns in Iowa are just so appealing. It's a wonderful part of the country, isn't it, Patty?
What's your prayer request, Patty? Tell us real quickly your prayer request.
Oh, okay. I wanted to ask you to pray for my brothers and their families. One of them.
Okay, we're going to pray for them. God knows what it is. That's the good thing about prayer requests, Alex. God already knows, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But
Patty,
we're making
sir, we're out of time.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm sorry, Patty. Father, we pray for Patty. We pray for her brothers and their family. We don't know all the needs, but you know they, and we're bringing them to you, Father. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Alex, it's been good, brother.
Amen. Well, folks, thanks for listening to Exploring the Word, and we hope you'll listen to all the great programming on the American Family Radio Network, and pray for our nation, pray for our country, and tell somebody about Jesus today. Blessings to you all.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.